Friends, we glorify one who was crucified, one who brings glory to his Father through obedience, who brings grace, mercy, and peace to his people at the cost of his own life given in sacrifice. I invite you this morning to join us as we gather around his word and share in his table of remembrance. Please be seated. Please be upstanding as we sing together now the hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done."
Oh,
Please be seated. Well, a warm welcome to you on this brisk Melbourne spring morning. Welcome particularly if you're here with your dad for Father's Day. It is Father's Day today, and there are people giving their dads a nudge all over the place. Lovely to have you with us. Welcome too if you're one of those people with us on YouTube live streaming today. It's great to have you with us too. If you are new to Scots in person, please take a moment to fill out one of our introduction cards. You should find one in your row, in your seat, if you didn't get one on the way in. We would love to hear about your visit and get to know you better. Please do stay for a cuppa and a chat after the service. You can join us at the mezzanine level at the Westpac building straight after church, or if you have to rush off, grab a coffee at the back. Now, our organ concert series starts today at 5 p.m. Please spread the word, come along, and hear Stefan this afternoon. Promises to be a really great time. That concert series will extend through the month. Now, just very quickly, I wanted to introduce to you our three elder candidates. Gentlemen, if you would run down the front and join us as quickly as you can. Well, yes, we've got all three here. There is an announcement on your bulletin that I'd invite you to read. Just a reminder that... Don't be shy. Come up here so people can see you. Yeah. Next week, for our members, the election process begins. And if you haven't met these handsome guys yet, I would invite you to have a good look at them so you can speak to them afterwards and get to know them a little bit better. But Nada and Joel, and what's your name again?
Sonal.
And Sonal are all guys who have been introduced to you in the documents that have come around. If you're a member, you will have got those by email or pick one up here. And they've all been involved in various leadership roles around the church. Sonal's been leading the Tuesday night growth group. You will have seen Joel at the coffee cart and on the board of management and various roles like that. Nada has been involved for even longer than those guys in lots of different, particularly the evening service in days gone by, the board of management as well. Great ways that they've served our church, and they're the nominees for eldership. And if you're a member, you do need to be part of the voting process, and you do need to indicate approval for each of the names you approve. So it's not just pick one. It's if you approve each of them, you have to say yes and affirm the vote. And we do warmly commend, the session warmly commends them. They've been through elder training with Philip Court, who's over there, and has given them the thumbs up. And so we're very encouraged by the process so far. Thank you guys for showing your faces like this, and you'll see a lot more of them. Take a seat. Now, look, there are lots of little bits of news this morning, so I'll just continue. The Centre for Public Christianity is presenting a seminar tomorrow night all about technology and the role of technology in today's world. It's up at Cross Culture Church in Swanston Street. Details are in the newsletter, and I would encourage you to get along to that. Finally, the spring edition of The Leaflet, our magazine, has arrived, and if you're visiting today, grab one. They're spread all around the church. If you're a regular, grab one. In fact, if you've got a friend you'd like to share one with, grab one for your friend as well and take it away. One really disappointing thing, though, I went to great trouble to research the best $1 coffee in Melbourne, and you can find that story on page 13. Did you see on the news this week, after years and years of selling $1 coffee, 7-Eleven is putting up the price to $2. It's a sign of the times, ladies and gentlemen. It's a sign of the times. They'll still be $1 for the rest of this month. So if you want to try one of those $1 coffees, get moving fast. But there are some other wonderful articles as well that aren't quite so out of date. So please take it, read it, absorb it, and share it round as you introduce Scots Church to your friends. And do enjoy reading it, but not during the sermon. During the choir, maybe, but not if you're in the choir. We are going to sing again now. We're going to join together in singing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Please be seated. I'm going to invite you to join in prayer with me now. The prayer will close with us praying the Lord's Prayer together. Just thought I'd mention before I pray that a little later on in the service, we're having our Bible reading from John's Gospel, where Jesus talks about the opposition that he is facing from the world and that his disciples after him will face from the world. Now, if you're visiting today, you might think it's an unusual passage to choose to speak about. The reality is, here at Scots, we've been working our way through John's Gospel a little bite at a time, week by week, and this is the passage we've come to today that we'll be looking at. And because of that, I thought it would be good in our prayer to acknowledge the fact that many Christians around our world face profound opposition for standing for the name of Jesus Christ. And so we'll be including them in our prayer this morning. Please join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom we enjoy to meet and declare your praises week by week, as this morning we pray for the persecuted church around the world, for those whose words of witness come at great personal risk and personal cost. We pray for followers of Jesus in Afghanistan, facing opposition from local and national governments, together with threats from the Taliban and ISIS, and also persecution by their families, friends and neighbours and communities. We pray for members of the Early Rain Church in China facing ongoing police action, and especially for those taken into custody in recent weeks. We pray that they would be treated fairly and with justice and compassion as they continue to testify to their faith in Jesus Christ. We are aware that even in our own experience, there are times when our faith brings opposition and ridicule, that standing with the Lord Jesus can be costly in so many ways. Embolden us, we pray, to live lives of such integrity as to be blameless, that we would be well prepared to speak of the hope that we have in Christ, that we would bear up under scorn and persevere in our faith until the end. Forgive us, we pray, for the times we have brought dishonour to your name, for the times when we have been half-hearted, for the times when we've been inclined to seek easy comfort through compromise. And strengthen us, we pray, to remain steadfast in our trust in our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." there are children with us this morning, you are very welcome to leave us for Sunday school at this point. And during our next hymn, the offering plate is going to come around for our regular members to contribute. If you're visiting, please don't feel obliged to contribute, just pass the plate by. Our hymn is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. During this short break, I just wanted to introduce you to our new audio podcast. It's called Scott's Cast, and it's available on Spotify. Now, there's a link to Spotify down below in the comments here on YouTube, or if you forget to do that and want to look later, you can find a link on our website. Or if it's easier, just scan this QR code. Now, Scott's Cast gives you just the teaching content of our weekly services, which is maybe handy if you've missed a week and you're out exercising or driving in the car, commuting to work, and you want to catch up on the previous week's teaching. So just sign up for our Scott's Cast podcast. You'll get it delivered week by week. You can follow us there, and it's simple and saves a lot of time. Of course, if you want to get all the hymns and the full service experience, you're very welcome to do that with us week by week here on YouTube as well. But just for now, remember, we're launching our new Scott's Cast on Spotify, and you're very welcome to join us there.
Please be seated. If you're following your order of service, you'll see that it indicates that our pastoral care minister, Reverend Leda Hesousios, would be leading us in prayer. Sadly, she has come down with illness and is not able to be with us, and so it will be me leading you in prayer. Let us pray. On this day that Australia knows as Father's Day, we praise you as the Father of mankind. Indeed, Father, you are the Father of all creation. You are the eternal Father of your only begotten Son, begotten, not created. Through him you adopt all you call to yourself as your children. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of our own lives, given through the agency of our mothers and our fathers. Whatever the circumstances of our birth, we are your creations. We are your creations, Father, made in your image to know you and to enjoy you. Lord, this Father's Day is a joyful thing for some of us. It is a sad, a stressful, or a very difficult thing for some of us. And for some of us, it is a mixture of competing emotions. Heavenly Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit, give us thankful hearts for our lives. Help us to forgive anything not yet forgiven. Comfort us and sustain us in all the joys and sorrows of our remaining days. Father, we pray your blessing on Lita. Strengthen her and carry her through. And Father, we pray the same for all those of our congregation who are unable to be with us this communion morning. In silence now, we name to you those who are particularly on our hearts. May you bless them and keep them. And finally, Father, we offer you our gifts of money. Whether we provide them by electronic means or through the offering plate this morning, it is but a small token of what is all yours. In the power of your Holy Spirit, may we offer and present our very selves to you, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your purposes, not through our own efforts, but because of and through the sacrificial work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
The first reading is selected verses from Psalm 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. I am utterly bowed down. All the day I go about in mourning, for my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. But I am like a deaf man, I do not hear, like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth are no rebukes. But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty, and many are those who hate me without cause. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Amen.
Thank you.
The second reading is the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 18 to chapter 16, verse 4. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. But if I had not done them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Amen."
Please join me in prayer. Father, as we turn to your word this morning and continue in our studies of John's Gospel, we pray that you would comfort and encourage our hearts to faithfully testify to the Lord Jesus in our world. We ask in his name. Amen. When we advertised on Facebook that Scott's was open for Melbourne open house a few weeks back, I mentioned there was some interesting feedback in the comments on Facebook. Let me share some. You might have seen them if you're part of our Facebook page. Dennis said, "Why am I getting all these adverts for Bronze Age zombie myth indoctrination?" Pete said, "Churches and religion, the cause of all wars, hate, greed, segregation, etc., through the eons. Churches, corporations of greed, scaremongering scammers, child molestation." Paul says, "You'll have a pathetic, lame, smart something answer, but get real. Religious people are selfishly trying to force their lies onto others. They will not accept reality. Don't spread your natural fertilizer where it isn't wanted." Julie, "Never ever force any religion on anyone. It is a personal choice, always." Andrew posted this one: "God can do anything except make his own money. That's why he needs your money." To which I replied, "Andrew, nothing we are doing at Scott's Church is chasing your money." To which he replied, "Yeah, all con artists say that." Now, of course, the census tells a similar story. No longer can we think of Australia as a Christian country. Although I've got to say, in my own living memory, I'm not sure that we ever could. to be serious about following Jesus, whether now or a decade ago or five decades ago or in the time of our Australian convict ancestors, to be serious about following Jesus has always been considered kind of odd, met with indifference, if not with barely contained hostility, which these days, of course, is simply less contained and perhaps a little more hostile, which taps into what Jesus says to his disciples as we continue this morning in what's been called his farewell discourse on the day before his arrest. This is Jesus literally saying goodbye to his disciples. It's interesting, the early chapters of John's Gospel, which we've covered over the past few months, in those earlier chapters, what scholars call narrative time has gone by quickly. John whips through days or weeks or months of action in just a verse or two. But in the farewell discourse and what follows, we get every detail and almost every word. Which means for the last 3 or 4 weeks, if you've been here, we've covered no more than 2 or 3 hours of real time. Judas has only just stepped into the night on his mission of betrayal. And Jesus is briefing the remaining 11 on what lies ahead. And let me tell you, if you think a few nasty comments on Facebook are rough, they were about to get it far worse, as have countless Christians ever since. And if you want to know why, if you want to know the fundamental underlying reason, Jesus says this in verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Things are heating up. Judas out the door in the darkness. It's a familiar story. I'm sure you know what's going to happen. But even before the event, Jesus knows exactly what's unfolding. And the world, he says, an underlying dark force, hates him with all its worth. Light came into the darkness, John says back in chapter 1. But darkness is the preferred default option. And so here are some not so cheery words of farewell. Peter, James, John, you other guys, if you find you're hated, don't be surprised, because you're going to be representing me and that will make you different. Kind of obvious, isn't it? Inevitable from the moment Jesus first called Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathanael to follow him back in chapter 1. From that point on, they were singled out to be different, as is the case with you and me when we respond to Jesus. I wonder if they read the small print. Listen to what he says here in verse 19. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, friends, I do wonder at that. I mean, there are some churches you will go, there are preachers you'll hear who promise you the world, who'll tell you that if you have faith, that if you turn to Jesus, you will live your best life now. Do you hear the contrast? Because Jesus himself is promising his disciples that they will be not of the world and as a result, that they'll be hated by the world just as he is. I wonder, with an offer like that, who'd be signing up? Unless, of course, we were to keep reading and find out what happens next. But look, here's the deal. He says, you guys are my disciples. I'm leaving. I'm authorizing you as my messengers. Like it or not, you're going to launch my church in the world. So don't expect it to be easy. Remember the word I said to you, verse 20. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Why expect to travel first class when Jesus went economy? Here's the point. The disciples of Jesus then, disciples of Jesus now, can't expect an easy ride in a world that prefers to go unchallenged. Some will actively persecute. Every now and then, says Jesus, some will listen, just as it was with Jesus himself. The irony, though, being that the world Jesus is talking about is primarily, of course, the world of first century Israel, and specifically the leadership of Judea, centered on the temple, who claim to honour God the Father, and yet refuse to know Jesus the Son. The ones who are going to come after him with swords are the temple guards on the orders of the high priests, who think they are serving God himself and yet simply don't know him. And so the apostles shouldn't expect any different. First century Christians shouldn't expect any different. You might remember the fear of the parents of the man born blind, who we saw back in chapter 9. Jesus gives the man his sight, a remarkable miracle. And yet instead of celebrating, you might remember, his parents didn't even want to be seen with their son in case they were excluded from the temple, from the synagogue, sorry, as supporters of Jesus. Which in other words back then means being cancelled in exactly the same way as cancel culture works today. When the actress Roseanne Barr posted a thoughtless racist tweet, it finished her career. She was immediately written out of the script of her own new sitcom, fired, as far as I know, hasn't been on a screen since. Cancelled, just as if she doesn't exist. Now that's how it was with excommunication from the Jewish synagogue. Treated as if you don't exist. They simply wouldn't risk it. Chapter 16, verse 2, Jesus says, you'll be cancelled in Israel. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Thinking they're serving God, but in reality, not knowing him at all. They will do these things, verse 3, because they have not known the Father, nor me. Knowing God the Father and knowing Jesus his Son go hand in glove. Because you might remember here in John's Gospel, John's big point from the beginning has been that Jesus the Son comes into the world unambiguously to make his Father known. So hating him as they do, they're hating his Father as well. Which for Jesus, you'll notice, is no real surprise given the experience of King David in Psalm 38. There are actually three psalms where David says something very similar. It's hard to pick which one Jesus is thinking of here, but Psalm 38, here's David. He says, "But my foes are vigorous, they are mighty, and many are those who hate me without cause. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good." Another psalm, he says, "Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs of my head." Jesus says, as it was with David, so it is with me, and so it will be with you. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled: they hated me without cause. Now, can I pause here for a moment to make the point that if you think personally you are getting a hard time because of your faith in Jesus, that might actually be true. It's not surprising. Although, on the other hand, sometimes it's worth reflecting on whether that is actually the case. A few years later, the Apostle Peter writes to Jewish Christians facing persecution. He says this: "For it's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God." In other words, if you're persecuted, make sure it's for doing right and not just that you're being hard to get on with or arrogant or thinking it's your job to tell everyone else what to do because you're right and they're not. Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? Although you've got to say that in all sorts of ways, people acting publicly in the name of Jesus haven't actually been tracking that well, have they? Just in the last few months, if you follow the media, there's been the Southern Baptist scandal, sex, power, cover-ups, the Hillsong scandal, power, money, hotel rooms, cover-ups. For anyone following the wider American megachurch scene, the Bill Hybels scandal, sex and money and power and hypocrisy and cover-ups. The Mark Driscoll scandal, power and arrogance and a cover-up. Not to mention the long tradition of churches that just seem to be out to make money and fundraise, using every opportunity to take instead of to give. Our reputation to have an obsession with sex, a desire to tell everyone else what to do, while it seems we don't even do it ourselves. The trouble is sometimes the world at large just hates Jesus without any cause at all. But other times, we've given them plenty of cause. Some of the pushback's well deserved, which means we need to heed the Apostle Peter's advice and do much better. Because Dennis and Pete and Paul and Julie and Andrew, who I quoted at the start, the church has given them so much ammunition. But still, the bottom line is, even when we are being blameless, even when our witness is winsome and our music is marvellous and our architecture is awesome, we are still going to face rejection anyway, in the same way Jesus did. And so we shouldn't be surprised, because even if Jesus does reveal the Father to the world, that's not what the world really wants. There is that preference in the human heart for darkness. And if you are serious about following Jesus, and doing right. You need to be ready for that and not alarmed by it. Living humbly, graciously, generously as a follower of Jesus. And yet quite ready in lots of ways to be excluded for it by family or friends. Cancelled in your workplace maybe for your outlandish and outdated ideas. Mocked on social media, pilloried in the press. And if you have experienced that, you'll know it's painful. You might have even opted for safety, the same way the parents of that blind man did in chapter 9, keeping silent out of fear of exclusion. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm telling you this not to scare you, but to prepare you. To prepare you for what it's going to be like. And he wasn't wrong, was he? I'm telling you this so you're not tempted to give up. I've said all these things to you, chapter 16, verse 1, to keep you from falling away. Again, verse 4. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Forewarned is forearmed. I told you in advance, so be bold and speak anyway. Because that, of course, is what the apostles have got to do. And we too. And again, to be clear, that was exactly the experience of the apostles themselves and of the first century Christians and Christians through the ages and Christians today, whether overtly in Afghanistan or China, or perhaps more subtly in Melbourne today, in your workplace or your school or at uni, in a way that does make you want to keep quiet about your loyalty to Jesus. And yet Jesus assures them they are going to have help from the Helper. He's talking about the Holy Spirit yet to come. That they are going to be energized and encouraged by God's Spirit at work in them. As the promise is, we are too. The apostles will supernaturally bear witness to what they've seen from the beginning. And we are called to keep passing that on. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. So friends, as we share in communion today, it is something of an invitation to join Jesus in his death, to willingly identify with him in his rejection. Will you do that? An invitation to publicly eat and drink together in a way that both commemorates his death and boldly proclaims it. Tonight at our 5 p.m. service, Grace Bailey is going to be baptised and admitted to membership of Scots, which, when you think about it, is courageous, isn't it? Saying, I am publicly standing with Jesus, who was rejected and shamed, not for any wrong, but for right. And I'm ready and willing to face that same kind of rejection and shaming too, to stand as being different to the world because I'm sticking with him. And it's worth it. Friends, it is a challenging call to not lose heart, to be ready for opposition, to face whatever comes with courage and not despair. God's Spirit is ready to help us with that. So as we prepare to share in communion together, let's pray for that strength and that encouragement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our prayer is that your Spirit would move powerfully in our hearts and among us, that we would be a people of humility and righteousness that bear the name of Jesus with honour and courage. We pray that we would testify well to him in our families, in our streets, in our communities, in our workplaces and beyond. That though we might face rejection, we would calmly face that with courage, through the courage that your Spirit gives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, on behalf of the elders of Scots Church, I do welcome you to share in the Lord's table with us today as an opportunity, as I've said, to join as one body and those who stand with the one who left behind his glory with the Father and humbled himself to death on a cross for us. We're going to stand together and join in the public declaration of our common faith through the Apostles' Creed, as it's printed in the order of service. Please stand. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." At the Passover meal, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you." And he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Our leaders are going to serve you now. As you served, please enjoy the music and reflect as we wait to eat and drink together. I believe there is a gluten-free option, which you can just put your hand up if you'd like to be served with that. So just wait till you're served, and then wait a few moments till we eat and drink together. Well, friends, eat this together and be thankful that the body of the Son of God was given for you. And now drink this together and be thankful. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this sacrament and all that it signifies in these simple symbols, as we reflect on his body broken for us and his blood shed for us, as we think of the glory he laid aside for the glory of the cross. We pray indeed that we might be humbled by your mercy and moulded by your love, that in sharing this one bread, we too might be one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we've heard this morning that the Christian life can be tough, full of challenges and opposition, sometimes even tumultuous. But we're reminded of that in the encouraging words of our final hymn, that Jesus calls us to follow him over that tumult to something better and beyond. Let's join together. Friends, thanks for being with us this morning, both here in person and online. A reminder that our contemporary service, Scott City, is on in the Werner Brodbeck Hall next door at 5 p.m. with the Baptism of Grace Bailey. You'll be welcome to join us. Otherwise, hopefully see you again next Sunday. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us through good times and bad, in challenging times and times of rest, now and forevermore. Amen.